The Committee on Regulated Industries will now come to order. Senator Rusan is excused from today's meeting. Susan, please call the roll.
Chair Hudson?
Here.
Vice Chair Book?
Hello.
Senator Albritton?
Here.
Senator Gruters?
Here.
Senator Hooper?
Here.
Senator Pasadomo?
Here.
Senator Rodriguez?
Here.
Senator Rusan? Senator Stewart?
Thank you. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Vice Chair Book.
To the flag.
Please silence all electronic devices. Anyone wishing to speak before the committee should complete an appearance form and hand it to a member of the sergeant's office. Should you select to waive your speaking time, your position will be included in the committee meetings record. Members, tab 1, Senate Bill 448, Veterinary Telehealth by Senator Broder will be TP'd today and be looked to bring back at another date when we meet again. So that bill is TP'd. First we'll go to tab 4, and that is Senate Bill 1302, Criminal History Information by Senator Burgess. Senator Burgess, you are recognized. Explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill does two things. Section 1 of this bill would prohibit occupational licensing boards through DBPR from first denying a licensure application for licensure based solely on a criminal conviction. First, instead, what they need to do, and what this does is align DBPR with how we treat public employment with the state, is first we got to make sure somebody's qualified, and then we can review their criminal history records. So we're just basically trying to more mirror the process that we do when we have somebody applying for a state job or a government job to ensure that they're not, if they've served their time, they're not just out the gate denied an opportunity for employment based solely on the fact that in the past they had committed a crime. Remember, these are people who have served their time and are applying for a position, and if that position is found to have relation or a nexus to that crime that they had committed in the past, then the board would be able to review said crime and whether or not they feel that somebody should be issued a license based on that propensity there. The second thing this bill does is ensure that the sealing of certain types of criminal records is consistent both at the state and the local level. So right now, if FDLE seals a record, it's not necessarily sealed at the local level. So the purpose of sealing a record, of course, is so that it doesn't, you don't look around the corner and it's constantly haunting the person that had that record for whatever the reason was. And so this is going to basically provide a certificate from FDLE that the applicant would have to get and obtain through FDLE and then be able to present to their local clerk of court and have those records sealed consistent with what the state already allows. And that's the bill.
Members, we have one amendment. If it's okay with you guys, we'll go ahead and do the amendment, then come back for questions on the bill. Let's take up amendment barcode 568010 by Senator Burgess. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Sure. This is super technical in nature. It was recommended by staff just to change the word to department instead of board, and also criminal history instead of felony history, which is more conforming to how we handle it in statute.
Any questions on the amendment? Any debate on the technical amendments? Seeing none, without objection, let's show amendment barcode 568010 as adopted. We are now on the bill as amended. Any questions on the bill? Seeing none, I have some appearance cards. George Chimizo with the Florida Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers waving in support. George Chimizo again with Opportunity Solutions Projects waving in support. Christian Camara, Institute for Justice, is waving in support. Philip Suderman with Americans for Prosperity waving in support. You're going to have to help me out with this one. Is it Sabush Katel? Is that right? Katel? With Alliance for Safety and Justice is waving in support. And Adam Basford with AIF is waving in support. I have no other appearance cards. Any debate on the bill? Seeing none, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll wave close.
Having waved close, Susan, please call the roll for CS for SB 1302.
Senator Albritton.
Yes.
Senator Gruters.
Yes.
Senator Hooper.
Yes.
Senator Pasadomo.
Yes.
Senator Rodriguez. Senator Rusan. Senator Stewart.
Yes.
Vice Chair Book.
Yes.
Chair Hudson.
Yes, and by your vote, CS for SB 1302 is reported favorably. Next, we'll take up tab 2, Senate Bill 1920 on Electric Vehicle Transportation Electrification Plan by Senator Perry. Senator Perry, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman and committee. As we know, the electrification of vehicles is gathering momentum, and we have seen the EV market grow exponentially in the past 10 years. However, with this growth, we need to ensure sound public policy that also keeps up with the pace of this growth. As we see more and more Floridians taking to the roads and EVs, the Florida legislature has a critical role to play and needs to take this opportunity to create a policy to generate a robust and reliable EV fuel pump network that works for everyone. And so to be clear, I prefer to use the term EV fuel pump rather than EV charger because that's what they really are. It's simply a fuel-based pump that puts in electron-based fuel instead of the conventional petroleum-based fuel. So that's why I filed SB 920. Does three things. It requires the PSC to adopt a competitive neutral rules for a robust and reliable electric vehicle transportation electrification plan, which includes fair, reasonable, and transparent electricity pricing for EV fueling. It creates a competitive level playing field by prohibiting rate-based of EV fuel pump ownership and operation. It does allow for utilities to continue to own, operate EV fuel pump stations, but in a competitive manner under the same regulations structure that EV pump fuel retailers would have. And that is the bill.
Thank you for the explanation. Are there any questions, members? Seeing Senator Stewart for a series, and you can go back and forth with Senator Perry.
Oh, mine's a series of one. I'm just curious on this rate structure and if it has a comparable to gas stations versus electricity and charges that might ensue.
You recognize.
Okay, I'm not quite sure. This does, it allows the PSC to set up and do some rulemaking on this. It doesn't do anything with the rate structure of selling that. That would be a competitive retail market the way that I would envision this to be.
Any other questions for members? Seeing none, I have two appearance forms. Robert Fingar with the Florida Petroleum Marketers Association waving in support, and Grace Lovett with the Florida Retail Federation waving in support. Any debate on the bill? Seeing none, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, and I've met with some of the shareholders. I think there's going to be, or stakeholders, there's going to be a couple of modifications and changes that we're going to be working on. I look forward to working with everybody. But if we think about this market that's growing and understand the capacity is not there right now for charging, and as this grows dramatically in the next few years, if we don't do something now, and I think by opening this up and making sure that everybody has a seat at the table, make a competitive free market-based enterprise system, have the PSC oversee that from a certain rulemaking, that we'll get ahead of this. And we could set the trends for the nation, really, if we can do this. But we have to be proactive, the legislature does right now, in making sure that there's a fair, open, competitive market that will grow as the EV market grows, which it certainly will. So ask for your support.
Having closed on your bill, Susan, please call the roll on Senate Bill 920.
Senator Albritton? Senator Gruters? Senator Hooper? Senator Pasadomo?
Yes.
Senator Rodriguez?
Yes.
Senator Stewart? Vice Chair Book? Chair Hudson?
Yes, and by your vote, Senate Bill 920 is reported favorably.
Thank you.
Next, we'll take up tab 3. Senator Perry, do you have another bill coming in front of us? There we go. Don't leave just yet.
I got other places to be.
Tab 3, Senate Bill 1140 on alarm systems by Senator Perry. You are recognized to explain that bill.
Yeah, we'll see if we get unanimous on this bill. Don't, my roommate won't go against me. This bill streamlined the initial training for continuing education requirements for fire alarm systems agents with specialized certification, increases government efficiency as it relates to the permitting process for fire alarm system projects, and make technical changes relating to the installation of fire alarm systems. And there are two amendments, a main amendment and a substitute amendment.
Let's go through the amendment process, then I'll come back to questions. So first, let's take up amendment barcode 498414 by Senator Perry. You're recognized to explain this amendment.
I'd like to replace that with a substitute amendment.
Okay, we'll move to the substitute amendment. That's barcode 721546 by Senator Perry. You're recognized to explain the substitute amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment clarifies four statutes regarding closed-circuit TVs, clearly defines fire alarm systems projects as it relates to the simplified permitting process, and that is the amendment.
Thank you for explaining that amendment. Any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, I have no appearance cards on the amendment. Any debate on the amendment? Seeing none, without objection, let's show amendment barcode 721546 by Senator Perry adopted. We're now back on the bill as amended. Any questions on the bill as amended? Okay, seeing none, I'll go to the appearance cards. We have Diane Ferguson, ADT, waving in support. Christian Camara, Institute for Justice, waving in support. Eric Prutzman with Alarm Association of Florida, waving in support. And David Shep with the Automatic Fire Alarm Association. And it does not say what you're doing, so I'm assuming you're waving in support if you're here. Waving in support, there we go. We're now back on the bill as amended. Any debate on the bill as amended? Seeing none, you're recognized to close on your bill. Having waved close, Susan, please call the roll on CS for SB 1140.
Senator Albritton. Yes. Senator Gruters. Yes. Senator Hooper. Yes. Senator Pasadomo. Yes. Senator Rodriguez. Yes. Senator Stewart. Vice Chair Book. Chair Hudson.
Yes, and by your vote, CS for SB 1140 is reported favorably. Next, we'll take up tab 5, SPB 736, by regulated industries relating to lifeline telecommunication services. Shirley Sharon, you are recognized to explain the proposed bill.
Thank you, Chairman, and good afternoon, Senators. The Lifeline program provides monthly telecommunication services discounts to qualifying low-income customers served by an eligible telecommunications carrier, or ETCs. The federal program is funded by the Universal Service Fund, and the rules are established by the FCC. Established in 1985, the program's goal has been to ensure that all Americans can connect to jobs, family, and emergency services through phone service. Since then, that goal has been expanded to also provide broadband services through a 2016 order by the FCC. Prior to 2016, the state program eligibility standards and verification varied from state to state. However, in April 2016, the FCC issued the Lifeline Modernization Order. It added broadband as a support service, designated uniform minimum service standards, and established uniform eligibility criteria and verification among the states through a national verifier system. Senate Proposed Bill 7036 is essentially a cleanup bill. It removes obsolete language from the Florida statutes and replaces it with current language reflecting the program's current rules. The bill clarifies that an ETC must notify a subscriber of impending termination of Lifeline service if there is reason to believe that the subscriber will no longer qualify. It requires a subscriber to provide proof of continued eligibility for Lifeline service upon request of the ETC or the FCC, removes income eligibility provisions that are inconsistent with current requirements, removes references to state agencies that are no longer involved in the program, leaving just the Public Service Commission and the Department of Children and Families. The bill also clarifies that the PSC and DCF may exchange information with ETCs and the FCC to enroll eligible customers in the program, and finally requires any state agency that determines a person is eligible for a Lifeline qualifying program to coordinate with the FCC to verify eligibility for service. That is the proposed bill.
Thank you for that explanation. Are there any questions on the bill? Seeing none, I have one appearance card, Zane Smith, with AARP waving in support. Any debate on the bill? Seeing none, we're going to wave close on that bill. And please call the roll on SPB 7036.
Senator Albritton. Senator Gruters. Senator Hooper. Senator Pasadomo.
Yes.
Senator Rodriguez. Senator Stewart. Vice Chair Book.
Yes.
Chair Hudson.
Yes, and by your vote, SPB 7036 is reported favorably as a committee bill. Are there any senators wishing to be recorded as voting on bills before the committee today? Seeing none, Senator Pasadomo moves we adjourn without objection. Show that motion passed. We are adjourned.